Joining me is Ben Mossman, CEO of Banks Island Gold, a mining engineer with a lot of experience in northern BC. We had an opportunity to take a site visit with Ben to his Red Mountain and Yellow Giant mining properties last Wednesday, and today I wanted to give Ben a chance to explain the story to all of you. So, Ben, thanks for being here.
All right, thanks a lot.
And why don't you start by telling us some of your background so we can understand where you've come from?
Sure. Well, I'm a mining engineer, so I've worked in underground mines since 2000. I went to UBC, so I worked at six underground mines in Western Canada. I started at the Con Mine and Giant Mine in Yellowknife, and then Meyer Falls, Tungsten Mine, Snap Lake, and then lastly, I was with Lexco at the Keno Hill project. So all the experience I have is in underground mining, and then we recently formed this company in 2011, and I've been working on these two projects for the last couple of years.
So why don't you tell us about the company now?
Sure. So it's a schoolmate of mine, Jason Nickel. We've been looking at projects that could be put in production quickly for probably the last 5 years. So we found our first project, Yellow Giant, which is near Prince Rupert, and that's a high grade gold vein. And we acquired that from Imperial Metals in 2011. Did an IPO in October of 2011, and then since then we've acquired another project, a more advanced, larger project called Red Mountain from Seabridge Gold, which we acquired last year.
And what's the plan now?
Well, so the plan is we're going to put the Yellow Giant project into production late this year. So we spent the last 18 months or so, we drilled out the known zones. There's four mineralized zones, resources on them. We've drilled out three of them, done all the metallurgy, all the engineering work to a point where we're comfortable. We can put into production at small scale. So it's a 200 ton per day underground mine, producing around 28,000 ounces of gold per year, and it's a simple mine, small mine. Underground mining, there's two parts of the process. We have a dense media plant that gets rid of half the mass at a coarse crush, and then you make a sulfide concentrate using one-day flotation and for sale to smelters.
How much capex does the Yellow Giant project have?
So the capital cost is just below $8 million with working capital. We've spent some of that money so far. We've completed over 6 kilometers of road building. The portals are prepped on three of the zones. The first part of our plant, the dense media plant, is nearly complete. We're having that refurbished with a used unit, so that's going to be shipped to Prince Rupert from Ontario at the end of the month, and we'll have that put up on site probably late in July. So we'll be looking to start production with some small underground mining at one of the areas, the Bob Zone, which has the highest grades, and initially be running it through the dense media plant. And as things progress, we'll be adding on grinding and flotation sections to increase the grade of the concentrates and allow us to mine different zones.
What are the economics like? Like what's the payback?
Well, we did a PEA in 2011, which is still valid. We haven't updated the numbers. We have they've done quite a bit of work since then with metallurgy and drilling, but overall the numbers we feel are still valid. So that at a $1,360 gold price, the NPV was $28 million, and the IRR was a couple hundred percent. So it's a high return, because of the low capex and the high grades and a good MPV even at current metal prices.
So you think you'll be cash flowing by which month here, and how much money will you think you'll be flowing to back to the company?
So from the PEA numbers, the mine life was 25 months, and at a price of $1,360 per ounce Canadian gold, that's total operating cash flow pre-tax of $37 million, which is $1.5 million per month. And on average, the monthly income before tax is $1.5 million a month.
And when do you expect to be in production there?
Well, we're hoping to get in production by December or so. So we have most of the money to start production. Probably we'll have to raise a bit more because some of our funds are going towards exploration, flow-through dollars, and some of the money we're investing in our other project, Red Mountain, to advance that to a pre-feasibility stage. So we will be generating some ore from the more accessible stopes at the Bob and from the surface trenching. And then past that point, we'll be looking to get into the full-scale production, which we'll achieve that $1.5 million a month, hopefully in December or late this year.
You think there's exploration upside at the Yellow Giant property?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of potential there. We just drilled the zones that were known, and all these zones were discovered by Falconbridge in the early 60s. So they found these by outcrop. They drilled them very shallow. They've only been drilled to 150 meters below surface. So we actually purchased our own diamond drill, and we have our own crews, and they're running full time right now. They're drilling approximately 3,000 meters a month, and this is the first time that we've stepped down from the known zone. So you know, typically a vein can run, you know, even 1,000 meters below surface. So there's a lot of room for those to grow, and I think it's just a matter of applying the effort and the money to keep following these structurally controlled veins and hopefully find something either similar or hopefully find something larger along the way. Our most recent resource, it's effective February 1st, 2013, so just 31,000 tons measured at 23.4 grams per ton gold and 47,000 tons at 22.7 grams per ton gold, and then in the inferred categories, 81,000 at 13.7 grams per ton. So the measured indicate is mostly the Bob, Tell, and Discovery zones, and then the inferred is the Kim zone. And the Kim's a bit wider, but lower grade. So we'll be drilling the Kim zone, which is going to start next week. So we're going to bring that up into the M&I category and look to expand that as well.
Tell me about the Red Mountain property. Just what's the origin of it, and what does it mean for your company?
Sure. So Red Mountain's it's been known for a while. It was discovered by a company called Bond Gold in 1989, and Bond Gold was a pretty significant gold producer from Australia. They quickly were merged with Lac Minerals, which was a 1 million ounce per year producer, and Lac Minerals spent close to $40 million on the property from 1990 to 1994. They were going to put it in production in 94, and then they were taken by Barrick, and Barrick had decided to sell the property along with a number of other North American assets. So that killed a lot of the momentum on putting into production. It was eventually sold to Royal Oak. Royal Oak did 1 year of work in 96, and then they were gotten into financial troubles while they were building the Kemess mine, and went bankrupt soon after. So it's been idle since 1996. Wheaton River bought it in 2000. We're going to try to put it in production at a smaller scale, Of course, the gold price was very low at that time, so they ended up selling to Seabridge Gold in 2002, and then we had an option to purchase from Seabridge, which we made the deal last year.
So what kind of deposit is that? You've got 400,000 ounces at 7 grams, something like that, roughly?
Yeah, it's quite an advanced resource. It's 1.1 million tons in the measured category, 8.7 grams, and then 473,000 tons, close to 8 grams in the indicated, and then another 800,000 tons at 5 grams in the inferred. So it's an intrusive-related gold deposit. It's actually Red Mountain's name for this 12-square-kilometer gossan of gold-bearing pyritic rocks. But inside this this large halo of pyrite, you have these continuous zones about 20 meters wide where you get the higher grades, and that's the 8 gram per ton material.
So this is another project with a pretty staggering IRR, am I right?
Yeah, we did a PEA on it last year for an 1,800 ton per day mine, and at the base case of 1360 gold, had an NPV at 8% of $155 million and IRR of 43%. So it's a good project at that size. What we're going to look at doing this year is do further engineering, especially with the access room, to the engineering on a road that we can use to access the property year-round, and then look at scaling down the project to bring the capital cost down and hopefully increase the return on investment further and allow that project to fit better with the size of our company and the growth over the next couple of years. So we bring it down to more manageable capex, where we can transition from Yellow Giant into Red Mountain to increase the gold production over the next 3 years and establish ourselves as a stable, profitable producer within that time period.
And where do you think you can be? Obviously, from Yellow Giant, you can pull the 20 or 30,000 ounces a year. And where do you hope to be in 3 years?
Well, if we can keep maintaining the resources at Yellow Giant as they're mined, and if we can maintain at least that small production, and then hopefully along the way we're able to expand that, so that would be our base of 28,000. And then Red Mountain, base design now to 1,800 tons per day, it's average production of 115,000 ounces per year. So if you scale that back to reduce the capital costs, and then increase the mine life, we'd be looking to something around 50,000 or 60,000 ounces per year. So down the road, say 3 years or so, we want to be between the properties at least 50,000 ounces, and hopefully something around 80 to 100,000 ounces per year.
And so from there, you want to obviously take advantage of a weak resource market and try to acquire other projects. Is that the plan, or?
Yeah, I mean, we keep a pretty close eye on projects that we think are good. And so I think there will be a lot of opportunity. Right now, we're focused on getting these two properties advanced. But I think moving forward, we definitely will take a close look at other properties. Both these properties were a product. We were able to acquire them cheaply because of the bad times for gold in 2000. So I think that as this market progresses, you are going to see good properties that have a lot of money spent on them get put into the inventories of larger companies or smaller companies that basically disappear. There will be good properties available for very, very, very good prices. So.
What's the Banks Island gold market cap right now?
Right now it's around 24 million.
And what kind of cash position do you guys have?
Yeah, we have 3.6 million in working capital.
So you've got to spend 8 million at Yellow Giant to get into production there, right? So there is an equity financing
we spent,
right now, or?
Well, we're looking at a number of options. We were doing a financing for $6 million a couple months ago. We were able to raise $2.5 million, mostly because of a large fall in gold. It's dropped $200 while we're just closing up that financing. So we're talking to a number of parties, either for offtake agreements, for the concentrates, conventional debt solutions, and also equity as well.
That's just to get to that extra $8 million that you need to be.
Yeah, I mean we've already spent probably $3.5 million of that $8 million on a project. So we're pretty close. The plant basically paid for the first part of the density plant, which we can generate a saleable concentrate from. So won't take much more to get that set up on site, and then the initial underground development, it's around 400 meters of development to get the first stoping out. So we're pretty close. We don't need to raise another $8 million. It's probably more in the $2 to $4 million range. So I think that as we go forward here, and we have been spending a lot of time looking for the financing, I think that something's going to be put together fairly quickly.
So, what are the sort of the commitments on these properties? I understand that there is some money owed still on Red Mountain that comes due in 2015, and is that far enough away now that you're not worried about it? Like, what is the sort of the commitments that the company has to keep these properties?
Well, for Yellow Giant, we own 100%. So there's no cash commitments to maintain the property. We have the assessment work done on those until I think it's 2025. So there's a lot of assessment work on that on Yellow Giant. And Red Mountain, we recently made a deal with Seabridge to push the next payment out with a $1.5 million payment. It was due in August, and they were going to move that into January 2014. So the next payment for Red Mountain is $1.5 million in January 2015, and then the final payment to earn 100% is $9.5 million in January 2015. So what we want to do is bring that up to a feasibility level, probably at a smaller scale and lower capex, and then use that advanced study, basically to make a production decision, and then finance that project on its own merits.
So finance the $9.5 million and the project construction costs together.
Yeah, well, at least we'll be raising the $1.5 million before the end of the year to make the next payment, and then in order to do that, we want to have it to a stage where a decision can be made and the project can be financed, because if we are able to get the feasibility by the end of the year, then we can work to get the project financing for that project, so we can start construction of the roads next summer. You have a fairly short season there to establish the access to Red Mountain, so we don't want to lose another year on that. So this plan is to do the engineering, get to a pre-feasibility stage where we can show that this is an economic project. We can establish reserves, and then we can finance it, cover the acquisition payments, and also start construction and permitting very quickly, so that we can get next season, the work started next season.
Well, I guess the plan right now and the focus is to get Yellow Giant into production and show the market that you're making money and delivering on your word. So certainly seeing it gave us more confidence. What do you think, what else do you think investors should know about the story this summer?
Well, I think that, we have a very good share structure, a lot of good shareholders, and that's a lot of the reason why. Our stock has been down a little bit, but nothing like a lot of other companies have seen. So you know, we believe strongly in the project, and I think our shareholders do as well. And basically, you know, it's going to make a big difference. You know, when we do get a production and get a proper mine, establish ourselves as a producer, there's a lot of potential for growth in the company, and then with the relatively small stock position and outstanding, you know, there's good potential for growth in the share price as well.
I wish you luck with it, yeah. And I want to look forward to staying in touch and staying up to date with the story.
Sure. Great. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Cheers, Ben. That was Ben Mossman, CEO at Banks Island Gold. For more information on Banks Island, visit www.banksislandgold.com. And we appreciate you listening.